the release is called Bel Canto Paganini, and I'm speaking with Rachel Barton Pine. There are some other real gems that aren't as well known as the Caprices. How was it to decide to put these other three works by Paganini on this release?
Yeah, well, it's funny how it all unfolded, because my original plan was to record the 24 Caprices, period. And then I realized that I wanted to be as faithful to Paganini's intentions as I would be to any other composer. And that meant taking a serious look at the repeats that he had indicated. And most artists don't do all of the repeats. I think probably part of the motivation is if you do all of the repeats, the cycle spills out past one album's worth. But also, you know, it's that many more notes you have to play, perhaps. But I thought, well, if I was playing Schubert or Beethoven or, you know, any other serious composer, if they asked for a repeat, I would do it. And Paganini is very specific. He asked for some repeats and not in other sections he doesn't. So he obviously meant it. So I decided to do all of the repeats, and that meant that it had to be a double album. And since it was going to be a double album, I figured, well, now I have the opportunity to add a few more things. So maybe it was a bit masochistic of me to practice yet more Paganini, but these pieces are so great, it was totally worth it. There's, of course, his famous variations on Nel Corpino Risento that go through all the myriad techniques. But then one of the really fun finds was Duet for One. That was sort of a funky title, but really Paganini is imitating a violinist accompanied by a guitarist, except played only by one violinist. So you're plucking the strings with the fingering hand while simultaneously bowing with the bow, and it's just the hardest thing you can ever imagine, a real finger twister. It took me months and months to try to get the hang of it. It's an aural illusion. It sounds like I must have multi-tracked, but that's just one violin playing in, you know, into one microphone.
Recorded these on an instrument that's sort of similar to what Paganini had himself. Does that make you feel a little closer to this and in that sort of sound world?
Definitely. I'm privileged to play a 1742 Guarneri del Gesu, which is the same maker and the same year as Paganini's instrument. Now, of course, Paganini strung his violin with gut strings, and I use modern metal strings just because, you know, it's hard enough to play Paganini without worrying about the finickiness of gut strings. But, you know, definitely the instrument that I play has all of the types of tone that you would affiliate with Paganini's personality. And so it was that much easier to get to the heart of what he was saying with his music. And I also used an unusual bow for this recording. Paganini played what's called a transitional bow, which was halfway in between a Baroque bow and a modern bow. It only existed in the world for a couple of decades, but it's sort of what you might refer to as an early modern bow. So it's curved inwards and it's made out of Pernambuco, but it's lighter and springier, and it really helped make some of these fancy bow strokes and things pop. Also gave it a lightness of touch that helped prevent the music from descending into the more muscular, romantic approach, you know, of the later 1800s, which really wouldn't have been the sound from the early 1800s that this repertoire is coming from.
I was curious, are there any sort of rituals you go through, any stretches, any sort of mental tricks that you would share with us? I give the old example of they said that Glenn Gould used to, you know, wash his hands in very warm water before, you know, he'd go out on the stage, that sort of thing. Any rituals that you go through before playing these?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, you know, this is some of the most athletic repertoire in that exists for violin. It's like a, you know, figure skater getting out there and doing all these triple jumps or something. But all of violin repertoire still has a certain physicality to it. You're an athlete as well as an artist. Even though the art takes precedent, you have to support your artistic intentions by actually having your fingers and arms work properly and do all that fancy stuff. So I actually treat my body like an athlete would. I stick to a really clean, you know, purely vegan diet, no refined foods, no artificial colors, no preservatives, no refined greens, you know, so a really clean diet. I make sure to get enough sleep. I never touch caffeine. And then, you know, just keep making sure you're prepared, mentally prepared, calm. You know, it's a question of practicing enough, but not too much. And after all these years, I pretty much know what to do with my body. No special tricks. When I was younger, I used to get my blood boiling and get my excitement ready to go out on stage by listening to one of my favorite heavy metal albums right before I, you know, burst through the stage door. But nowadays I can sort of conjure up, you know, getting in the zone without any artificial stimulation. So.
Well, we are tickled that you have brought the capriciousness and definitely the singing in this bel canto Paganini that's available on Avi. Rachel Barton Pine, we're looking so forward to so much more, and thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me on.